Warning! This podcast may contain naughty language, including the C word. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, everybody, you tuned to Shingles. That's what we told movies, music, trending news, games, sports, current affairs, and anything else that pops into our brains. I am Dave Shingler, and this is the show where I once confused the word apocalypse with Holocaust. And he is Cleon Bewley.
And you see, it's not me, it's not my family. In your head, they're still fighting. Shingles List, how you doing, buddy? I was going to carry on.
I thought you were. I was going to join in.
No, it's St. Paddy's Day, and if I start singing that song a little bit too much, I will not stop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, Dave. Potato!
I do particularly love how us English celebrate St. Patrick's Day more than we celebrate St. George's Day.
We celebrate St. Patrick's Day more than the Irish celebrate St. Patrick's Day.
But let's face it, it's an excuse to drink a copious amount of Guinness.
Excuse me, what do you mean for us? My name is Cleon Bewley.
Okay.
I can't get any more Southern Ireland than that name. Unless I was called Paddy O'Dowell.
Yeah, but you're the white equivalent of mixed race, though, aren't you?
Yeah.
Olive. You've got that Irish.
And hello,
Paddy. You've got that northern, the Geordie northern part of you as well.
Mongrel.
And yeah, you're a mongrel, Cleon.
Yeah. Do you know...
And I love you for it.
Do you know the Bewley name originates in County Cork?
I didn't know that.
Did you not know
that? You might have told me that, actually, thinking about it.
Yeah, I think it's on every podcast we've ever done the day after St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, okay. I don't listen back to them, though.
I don't either.
You know, I should, really, but I don't.
Not really. We look to the future.
Yeah, that's in the past. That's done.
Yeah,
done now. We don't need to talk about that anymore.
Not about things we've done.
So it's Patrick's Day, St. Patrick's Day, which is nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't be engaging in any festivities today. I've got too much to do.
I might.
Well, you enjoy yourself.
Well, actually, I won't. We're not going to talk about the fourth wall now and pretend it's Monday morning.
I never do.
I always go for it. I've given up now, to be honest with you. It's Sunday afternoon.
Sometimes I forget to upload the podcast, so it's Tuesday.
So it could be any day. It could be any day. So, no, I won't. I might have a little cheeky drink while I'm cleaning my shed out when I get home.
Oh, okay.
Because the shed's a tip.
Ah, is this the man shed?
Yes.
Not the shed where the tools go. This is the shed where the singing happens.
The singing and the instruments.
And the instruments happen.
That we don't play instruments in there. We attempt to play instruments. And we can play instruments. And we can play all the right notes, but not necessarily in the right time.
In the right time.
Or the right order.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a bit of a problem I'm having with the guitar. So anyone who doesn't know, I went and bought a guitar, an amp, and a pick.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wanted to learn the guitar. But...
Did you get a set of pitch pipes for tuning your guitar up?
Oh, no, I've got that electric.
You blow into the pitch pipes, it goes...
You know exactly what I've got. I've got the little tuner.
Pitch pipes are ice.
No, I've got the tuner that attaches to the top of the guitar.
It was the 90s. When you got your first learn how to play guitar kit, you got your pick and your strap and your guitar and your little amp, and it came with pitch pipes as opposed to an electric tuner.
You had to blow
into the pitch pipe and then tune the string. Bong, 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 bong.
Well,
and it took forever.
There's a few things. So I took it. My son's also learning how to play the guitar, and he's not a bit better than me at playing the guitar. He's a lot better. He's been learning it for 2 years, where I've been learning it for 2 weeks. So I thought a great father-son bonding experience. It's not, Dave.
No.
It's not. No, I nearly hit him around the head with the guitar. So what I decided, I went, right, it can't be this hard to write songs and it can't be this hard to play an instrument.
Mm.
So I'm going to teach myself all of these things in the space of a month, dead easy. By the end of that month, I'll be ghost of Jimi Hendrix.
Okay.
It's not quite got there as yet, though. All right, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty much on smoke on the water. And if you're a guitar player, you know that's pretty much page one, book one, of buying an electric guitar.
Yeah, we don't play that in guitar shops.
It's like the stairway, isn't it?
Yeah, no stairway, dude.
Yeah, no stairway. I'll have Blaze Smoke on. So anyway, I got my guitar out, and I said to Ethan, let's go in the musical shed. And you can teach me how to play the guitar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll give you your first lesson, Dad. He's eight, by the way, listeners. Yeah. I'll give you your first lesson. So, brilliant. So I go, so tuning the guitar, and we've got the electric tuner on.
Yeah.
Now, he's being trained by an old teacher. Okay. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't believe in the tuner.
Oh.
Okay. Doesn't need it.
Why?
Because he knows what when he's things are
like perfect pitch.
So I went, I've got my electric thing on. No, passes a guitar, so he's took the guitar off me, commandeered it. He said, right. So he had this song called Sticky Toffee.
Okay.
Yeah. Ding 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 ding. Strings open.
Okay.
So he hadn't explained to me what strings open were, which is, as you know,
yeah,
take your hand off the neck.
Yeah.
Pretty much if you're not supporting neck. Yeah.
Strings
open. So I've got my strings open, and he's gone, right, B, 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 B. I've gone, right. So as I've just about strum it, he's just gone, no.
Oh.
Oh, right, okay. Yep. So as I'm getting into my timing, anytime he's watching me pick, so anytime my pick goes towards the wrong note, he's going, no, yep. So I just went, mate, do me a favour. I said, go play with your mum. Because if you don't, you might not survive the next hour in here. But the great thing is, I upped my tech as well.
Okay.
So I got a MacBook Pro.
Yes.
And on the MacBook Pro, you've got Guitar Band. And guitar teacher on it that's already built into GarageBand, which is amazing. So it is plug a guitar into said contraption.
Yeah.
When I play the strings, I'm not even kidding. It shows you the strings you're playing on your screen.
Yeah.
So then you've got an AI guy with an electric guitar in. The advances in technology are amazing. You've got an AI guy. You've got your guitar plugged in. And he's talking to you, pretty much like Peloton do, but,
you know. I'm with you.
And he's teaching you, giving you the full guitar lesson. So I'm having a really frustrating time, but I'm really enjoying it because I'm learning something new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's good, yeah. I mean, it is frustrating at first. I remember when I first had a guitar, me old man bought me, it was like a classical guitar off like a fucking car boot or something.
Yeah.
And he got me a video, which was Bert Whedon teaches guitar. Bert Whedon being, you know, the old guitar player, like, and it was teaching you chords and strumming patterns and stuff, and I was really bored. Like, so I didn't do it. And I remember being in school. And my mate Dan Potts, you know, he was playing guitar, but I didn't know he was playing guitar until we were talking about it. And he was like, "Yeah, I play guitar." I'm like, "All right, how did you learn? What did you do?" And he says, "You just want a chord book." So this is the way, like, I was, I was taught kind of how to play. He said, "Go get a chord book." So at the time, we were all listening to Oasis.
Yeah,
we were big Oasis fans, 90s. Like in the 90s. And there was these little white chord books that you could get from any guitar shop. And I'm pretty certain they fucking sold them in like HMV as well. And it was like a lead sheet. So you would have the lyrics with the chords over the top of the lyrics. That was it. No music, no notation, anything like that. And chord diagrams at the top of the page. So all you had to do was learn how to read chord diagrams. And once you'd learn how to read chord diagrams, you could go, okay, so this starts on E minor, because of course it fucking does, every Oasis song does. This starts on E minor. So how'd you do an E minor? And you look at the chord box and you go, okay, your fingers go down, and then strings go down, that's an E minor. And then the next chord would be G, and your little G diagrams at the top of the box. So this only works if you know how the song goes.
Yeah.
Because there's no, like, it's like doing karaoke if you don't know the song. Yeah, the lyrics are on the screen, but I don't know how the tune goes, so it's no help. Like, if you know how the song goes, then you can follow the structure. So, you know, you're doing Wonderwall or something, so you know it's today is gonna be the day, and you know the way the chord strum. So the first song I learned how to play was the acoustic version of What's the Story, Morning Glory. It's really simple guitar chord pattern, like E minor, G, blah, blah, blah. And I thought I was the fucking tits. Because like I picked the guitar up. It's the first time I've played a guitar proper. I used to lie flat on my legs and play. I did, man. And just put me.
There's a reason I'm laughing so loud at that.
I used to put my hand the wrong side of the neck of the guitar and just move one finger up and down the fretboard like to play like little bass note things.
Reason I'm laughing. Have you seen Roadhouse?
Eh?
Have you seen Roadhouse, the movie?
The new one?
No, the old one.
Yeah, of course.
The old blind guy.
Yeah, that's exactly
how I'm rocking.
Yeah, yeah. When is the new one out, actually? Because that looks fucking ace.
Does that?
It's the first time I've actually put a guitar on me leg the way it should go. I've got that old classical. I've dug it out the fucking wherever it was hiding. Tuned it up. Strings were missing, so I don't know how to restring a guitar.
Yeah.
And so I've taken it to what was R&B music at the time, and I've gone, hi, I've got this guitar, it's missing two strings. Can you
help?
Can you make that work for me?
Yeah.
And the guy, you know, behind the counter, it wasn't Neil. Neil was there. Neil worked there at the time, but Neil who owns it, like. It was some other guy, and he goes, yeah, of course I can. And this was back in the day where I used to buy single strings. If I broke a string, I'd go and buy a replacement string. And they were dirt cheap, like 30p or something like that for a string. So he got the strings out for me. He goes, these are the strings. And I was like, I don't know how to restring it. Now, with the classical guitars, like they're all tied at the bottom. They haven't got little fucking stoppers on the end. Like, you know, they're all tied up at the bottom. And I was like, I don't know how to restring it. So he showed me how to do it with one. And then, like, he said, do you want to have a go at doing the other one? And I was like, yeah, I'll do it when I get home. So couldn't do it when I got home. My old man ended up doing it for me, bodge-jobbed it somehow. And tuned it up, got my pitch pipes out, tuned it up, and then put the guitar on my leg properly, and then just started reading these chord diagrams, like, and working out where my fingers go, and it's like, oh, yeah, I've got this. Next thing you know, I'm playing What's the Story, Morning Glory, within the space of an hour, and I think I'm the tits at this point. That's it. Everything in my life has changed.
Yeah.
I no longer want to be a computer engineer. I want to be a rock and roll star.
Yeah.
I've got me shitty classical guitar, and I'm strumming away to Oasis chords, and it's the absolute tits. And that was the way that me and a lot of people who I know back then just learned how to play the guitar. The problem with that is when you're self-teaching is you're learning a load of wrong techniques. So like an E chord, I was doing the wrong finger pattern. Like my fingers were in the wrong place. I was getting the chord right, but my fingers needed to be the other way around to play it properly. And these are all bits and bobs that I picked up later on. I was holding my pick wrong. I didn't know, you know, nobody told me how to hold a pick, so I was holding it wrong. And to this day, I still hold it wrong.
Yeah.
But I don't hold my pen right either. I've never held my pen right. I hold my pen really weird when I write. It just went from there. And then a few of us at school like started doing the same thing. We're passing these chord books around. But to this day, and I know you can get, you can get everything online now. Back then, you know, you could go online back then, but it was rudimentary. And, so now you've got like...
How to play the guitar in 10 days?
Well, you've got like ultimateguitar.com, which is like, it does news and interviews and stuff, but people upload, loads of like, you know, chord patterns and tablature, guitar tablature and stuff. So, you know, the way I would say learn some basics is just find some songs, some, you know, pop songs, Oasis, anything like Beatles, whatever, that you know. Robbie, you know what I mean?
No, not gone there.
But anything that you know, and find the chord sequences on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Find, like, get a, a printout of chord patterns, chord diagrams, and just go, okay, right, so, you know, let's, fucking Angels, you know what I mean?
Which song do you think I've gone for, are you?
Eh?
Which song do you think Cleon went for?
You went for something stupid, didn't
Thunderstruck,
you?
Thunderstruck, AC/DC.
Yeah, that's not happening, Cleon.
No, I'm getting it slow.
Yeah, the other way you're doing it is you're jumping at the deep end.
That's basically, right. I've gone like this, Dave. Right, I want to play rock music. Let's go with, there's more AC/DC songs that are so easy to play that I could just basically go, do Back in Black.
It's about 20 minutes.
Do you know what? I know a guy who couldn't play the guitar, and his old man like told him that he'd never be able to play it. You're too busy dicking around, like you'll never be able to play it. And he just went the "I'll show you" attitude. First song he'll play, Paranoid. Yeah. Black Sabbath, start to finish. The guitar solo and everything.
Yeah.
Learn the solo, learn the law. Just, here you go. This is me not playing the guitar. But I played it for him, and it's like...
Well played, Daddy.
Yeah, that's the one. So people do it in different ways. People do the traditional route and then go to a guitar teacher and learn scales and, you know, all that kind of thing. And you can do that, but if you just want to play some chords on an acoustic guitar or an electric guitar or whatever and sing some songs... chord book or online chord diagrams, learn the fingerings and do it that way. And then later on, you know, when you've picked up them chords, if you want to develop your technique, go to a teacher. Dave Lees, by the way, brilliant guitar teacher.
Just on my side, all I'm doing is I'm messing around with it for a couple of a week or so. And then what I'm doing is going to actual a proper guitar teacher. Hmm. Because all I'm doing, like you've said, I recognise something that I was putting myself in a bad habit doing.
Mm. Yeah, you pick up bad habits.
Like putting the guitar down and playing it that way.
Yeah.
Then when you pick it up, you can't play it because you've learned how to play it wrong.
Yeah.
So there's little things that I've already noticed creeping in. It's the same as if you teach yourself how to play football. There's technique in every... I know people don't think... There's even technique in a goalkeeper kicking the ball out of the hand.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a right way of doing it, and there's thousands of wrong ways of doing it. And so, yeah, I'm trying to get the technique right.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is something that I'm having difficulty with. But someone said to me, because you're the wrong side of 40, it'll take an extra month.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you're young, especially like, you know, you're Ethan's age, kids pick up stuff like that. You know what I mean? The sponges, man.
Do you know how demoralising it is, though, when an eight-year-old takes your guitar off you and tunes it in right in front of you?
I can imagine.
It's proper demoralising.
Mm. My issue with the guitar was I didn't practice as often as I should have done.
Yeah.
That was my problem. I didn't practice as often as I should have done. And I still don't. Well, I stopped playing for years. Mm. You know what I mean? When I left the band, it was like back in 2016, I didn't bother... like playing again. I was done. Simple as that. Like, and like my fingers now. I was playing just before you came, and my fingers have all softened up. Like the calluses have gone. So if I have to do like when I've been jamming this year with Trev, when I've been jamming with Trev this year, my fingers have been absolutely wrecking at the end of it.
Do you know what I'm surprised about as well in guitars? I was thinking of this.
Started bleeding yet?
No. But I've nearly, I nearly did the other day.
That'll happen.
What I'm surprised they haven't done yet is put like a rubber fingertip glove with the things coming down this side of the glove and then around, so it tightens onto your fingers, so it doesn't wreck your fingers so much.
Oh, you can buy them.
Are they? Is that an invention already?
Yeah, I don't know if they wrap around your wrist, but you can get...
So it goes like that.
You can get finger protectors.
Down your top.
Yeah, you can get finger protectors that go onto your fingers for when you're learning how to play, but I think I'm 99% certain they were designed for pussies. So, like, you know, just build up some calluses.
Mate, I'm an office lad. I'm an office lad. I've been an office lad for 20 years, boss.
Build up some fucking calluses.
The hardest thing these have touched is the washing up liquid, didn't
you? You know what, man? My from all them years chefing, like I built up calluses on my fingers, my hands. Yeah. I had one on the
You've
side.
Been chopping into your finger for years.
One on the side of my finger because I used to hold my knife a little bit weird, and I hadn't done any. You know, obviously I've left catering, like, and I haven't done any serious like prepping for ages. And I had to do some the other week. I was making a massive veg chili, like just one that we could freeze and it could last forever. It was a huge pan of veg chili. I've got all my veggies, like, and I start chopping away. I think I got about four peppers in, and my hand was absolutely wrecking me. I had cramp. My calluses have all softened up, so my fingers were hurting. I was like, oh, for God's sake, I'm losing my edge.
After COVID...
I used to be able to put my finger in a fry, you know, without doing anything.
After COVID, I couldn't drive.
Oh, because you hadn't driven for so long.
And it knackered my arms driving. because you're holding your arms here. Yeah, but yeah, when you're doing it every day,
yeah,
and you've done it every day for so many years, mm-hmm. it doesn't hurt. But then during COVID, we had 6 months where we went.
Yeah, it's like I suppose it's like when you transition from a manual car to an automatic, and you drive automatic for years, and then you have to jump behind the wheel of a manual, like, because it's happened to my lady when the new car we bought was she'd driven automatic for, God, it's got to be 10 years, and then this one's a manual, and we had to go, when we took it for a test drive, we had to go the other side of the park down here because it's a really wide road, like, and quiet, just so she could get used to, like, finding the bike again and actually changing gear. Like, when the engine's telling you change gear, and it's like, why ain't it changed? Oh, yeah, I've got to do it.
I was having this discussion with I'm so boring. I was having this discussion with a driving instructor because everything's moving to automatic and Triptronic now.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So I was saying to him, is that going to fundamentally change the test? He went, well, a lot's got to change because there's been a lot of change and a lot of things haven't changed in over the last 10 years where we've kept things same.
Yeah.
But anyway, what am I excited about, Dave?
Can we just talk about the test for 2 seconds?
Yeah.
I think the drive, and this isn't, I 100% mean this, this is not because I failed my test. I think the idea of a driving test, bullshit.
I agree with you.
You've got to, you know, you've done all them lessons and you've got to prove something in 44 minutes. And that 44 minutes is literally going to decide whether you can drive or not. I know that I can drive, right? I just haven't got a license because I made a mistake. You know what I mean? I made one mistake that didn't kill anyone. That was
just maimed it.
It was fine. You know what I mean? I made a mistake, but I just think when you've taken so many lessons, and I think this with like school exams as well, like a 2-hour exam answering questions, how does that prove your knowledge? Like
I think if I open this door, I'm going to vent like I've never vented before because of the frustration that's underneath the surface. I think if you judge your fish by how good it is at swimming when it's up a fucking tree, is an absolute sign-out disgrace. And if you're basing your judgment on other people's thoughts, opinions, instead of just down simple facts, I think you're a dick anyway.
When you're in school, right, and what they're saying to you is you're going to have to go do an exam where you're going to have to remember everything to answer these questions. In life, when have you ever had to remember everything?
I can't remember a time I've ever needed effing algebra. You know what I mean? Mrs. Thompson went on about it like there was no tomorrow.
I just mean in general. When I was in kitchens, right, I had to.
No one's asked me about the Romans.
Especially when I was in contract catering. And I had to come up with, you know, ideas for menus and whatnot. And I worked in education. So we had to follow, like, Food Standards Agency education guides, so you know, kids can only have a certain amount of fried products a week, and you've got to have, you know, the nutrition has all got to be there. And I, you know, I top of my head, I can't fucking think of anything off the top of my head now, like recipes, but I'd think, oh yeah, I can make this today, and then me head would go, oh fuck, I forgot I'll make that. So I'd just get my phone out and go and Google it. Right, I need some recipes like for this dish. And I'd read about 4 or 5 different recipes and then go, oh, yeah, I remember now. And then just make it up.
And just make it
up. I've never had to remember. I've never had to sit in a room and do an hour test on whether I know I'll make a fucking korma. It's like, you know what I mean? If I forget, you just fucking look it up.
I've never needed in life. I understand why you need to understand things like photosynthesis and
I get it. Like,
but I don't understand why we need to learn so much about current history.
Go on.
I don't get that, because that's a one-sided affair. You're talking it from the victor's
point of
view.
The victor always tells the story.
Exactly. There's 3 versions of the story. There's yours and mine and then the truth. Sorry. I don't understand I understand why we need math so heavily. I don't understand why we don't invest more into speaking foreign languages.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we as the English are the most arrogant bunch of arseholes on the planet. Well, we're not. We're second.
How do you speak French? Just English, really slowly with an accent.
Yeah, with the Z on the end of everything. Yeah. How do we speak the German? We put the Z at the beginning.
Onion rings.
Yeah. So if we want to speak France English, we put the Z at the end. If we want to speak German, we put the Z at the beginning. If we want to speak Italian, we just do this with his hand. And I'll pull a bit of a thing in the middle and put an O in the middle of different sentences. And I completely agree with you. I don't understand. I don't understand the need to be constantly testing, judging, and criterioning people.
The thing is, especially with the driving test, like, so you go on a driving test and your instructor can go, right, today we're going to learn how to do a 3-point turn.
Mm.
It's not called a 3-point turn anymore. It's called a test. I think it's called a turn in the road. I believe that's the term for it now, a turn in the road.
Oh, we're getting proper America.
Because you don't have to do it in three points.
So now it's just a turn in the road. Oh,
yeah. You don't have to do it in 3 points.
I'm going to be in Saudi Arabia within a year.
It's ideal to do it in three.
Telling you.
One, two, three. You know what I mean? It's ideal to do it in three. But if you do it in five, you're not going to get penalised. Like, today we're going to do a 3-point turn. So you learn how to do the 3-point turn.
Yeah.
And then you drive off and you go about the rest of the test. So a week later, you have another lesson and your instructor goes, "Can you remember how to do a 3-point turn?" And you go, "Yeah, I remember that. Show me then." So you do it and you make a little mistake in the middle. So your instructor goes, this is what you did there. You crossed your arms. You're not supposed to do that, blah, blah, blah. But well done. You know, A for effort. You did a good job. You turned the car in the road. Yeah. So a week later, "You remember how to do that turn in the road?" Yeah, I can remember it now. You do it and it's perfect. And then you don't do it the week after that because you got it right. And then another week goes by and you go, "Right, we're going to do a turn in the road." So you do it and it's perfect. And then you do it again and it's perfect. And it's like, right, why have I now got to go and show an examiner that I can do this? Or not necessarily have to show them. It might not come up on your test. You know what I mean? It might not be there. But surely there should be some level of, like,
why are you doing a 3-point turn?
Oh, in case you need to turn around. It could be an accident up ahead and you've got to turn your car around and go back this way. That's why. You know what I mean? There you go. So
just want to turn in the middle of the road.
Yeah. So, you know, there should be some level, like, with my kids and the swimming lessons, it wasn't all based on a test at the end of the session.
That's dead easy to test, that is.
You know, the instructor at the end, as the weeks were going on, would be like, okay, they've proven they can swim a length. Let's tick that off,
yeah,
right?
Done.
Now can they dive and pick the brick up? Yeah, done. Tick that one. So you don't do it all in one session at the end of your fucking course. You know what I mean? It's like it's done as you go along. So why can't that be adapted into education? Why can't that be adapted into a driving test? Why can't that be? I suppose, you know, you'll get instructors that are dicks, or you'll get instructors that, like, maybe.
Yeah, you get dicks in all life,
but
probably, don't
to,
you?
It has to be moderated. Like, it's I don't know.
I suppose swimming. The difference is swimming's a physical.
I've ranted for a bit.
So swimming's physical, where school's mental.
Mm.
So it's this very, very, very easy way to know if the child can swim.
Throw them in.
Well, no, it's dead easy to judge. Can you swim from there to there? Oh, mm-hmm. No, they're floating on the bottom. Well, that one can't swim. Tick. Like, it's not hard to do. You're a child's having to do a physical exercise, mm-hmm. which is apparently easier to do than a mental exercise, which I disagree with. Because I've got two kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've got one kid that could run through a brick wall tomorrow. And I've got another kid that would figure out how to walk around the wall.
Yeah.
Or how to push the wall down.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
push something into the wall. Or do something that'll get her around it. Now, the boy jumping swimming baths, he's like, and off.
Yeah.
Yeah, full buoyancy, leg, because he's got the power to power through.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the male help him. Whereas the girl overthought the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how am I staying above the water? What do I need to do? But if you put her in a classroom and you give a instruction A, B, C, D, and E. So I think the major difference in this country is male and female. And I think both need to be trained as such now.
Okay.
And then this is the problem we're going to get into. Why can't girls do
Why can't girls run through the wall?
Why can't girls run through the wall? My daughter can run through the wall. My daughter can do woodwork. My daughter can...
That's the problem. This is the problem. It's 2024. That's the problem. There's too many opinions. Everything was simple. The reason everything was simpler in the 80s is because when you said to somebody...
Because it is. Shut up.
Because it is.
Because they went like, right. Just is. Why? Well, he's told me shut up twice. I'm not going to ask him again. He's doing me head in. Whereas now, we have to consider everybody's different stuff. And while we're considering everybody's different stuff, you've got all these people feeding their opinions into tests and this, that and the other, and really, really educated people who've sat in a room and read for 10 years of their life and then been able to regurgitate that reading after those 10 years. Yeah? Does that make any sense?
Kind of. I think I kind of understand where you're getting at, yeah.
There's too much. There's just too much going on, I think.
I think the point I was making, though, was, like, I don't think everything should be judged on a two-hour exam.
I agree.
You know what I mean? It should be done over, I suppose, somewhat similar to, like, a BTEC, how that works. You know,
people mature at different times.
This is true. I mean, the whole, like, admitting your kid to school is a bit weird as well, because I was born at the end of August.
Yeah.
Right? So, because I was born before the 1st of September, I fell into the category of kids that were born from September 83 to August 84.
So you were one of the youngest kids,
I was pretty much a whole year younger than, what was her name? Keely, that was her name. Keely Williams, right?
Hello to Keely.
I was pretty much a whole year younger than her. She's had an extra year to develop.
Yeah.
Right, you know what I mean? And my mate Si...
Which is massive in sport. Yeah. Massive in sport,
My mate Si was a little bit younger. He's like a week younger than me. So, you know, he was right at the cusp. So, like, I turned out all right. It was fine. But, you know, that might not be the case for everybody. She literally had an entire 12 months more of developing and growing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the brain developing and everything compared to me. Now, like I say, you know, I turned out fine. It was okay. But some kids won't. That'll be a disadvantage. So, like, I think there should be, like, an option somewhere where a parent can say, do you know what? I'm going to hold my child back because they're too young and they can start next year.
Mine's in September and I was one of the oldest.
So you would have been one of the oldest.
I was one of the oldest in the year. And I didn't figure out what the hell I was doing in high school till the third year. I know that sounds, stupid, what? I didn't see the point in it. I could not wrap my head around it. I couldn't wrap my head around the fact that my scores were so high in my tests and they put me in the lowest class.
Right.
Because I enjoyed talking.
Ah, yeah, there you go.
So I like to solutionise problems and discuss the problem and go into why is the answer this, and because of that, that made me a problem. Make me a problem. That makes me cleverer than the rest of the fucking class, you moron.
And you know what? It was different times as well when we were back at school, because, you know, that was a thing. It was like, we've got a naughty kid here. No, you haven't. You've got a kid that wants to fucking...
I'm just asking, really? Yeah. Jesus, God, really?
I'm asking questions, you know what I mean? I'm asking questions and I want to know things. Like, that's what you've got there. And, you know, we're X amount of years. I mean, when did I leave? I left high school.
I don't want to thought of this conversation, let's say 10 years ago and leave it there, yeah?
It was 24 years ago for me when I left school.
Yeah.
So a little bit longer for you.
25.
More like 27 or something, 28. You know what I mean? So... Nowadays, and, you know, having kids in high school, one that's gone through high school, you know, it is a lot different, and there are a lot more opportunities for kids now to succeed. And for kids that are chatty and want to know stuff and this and the other, it's like they're not deemed naughty kids anymore. They're deemed, like, it could be a spectrum thing. It could be a spectrum thing. Could be autism. Could be ADHD. You know, it could just be a fucking inquisitive child.
Full blown epilepsy.
You know what I mean? Well, yeah, there you go.
I was under constant medication, which was getting flooded through my system again, and I genuinely don't remember the last bit of primary school and the first bit of high school. But I'm not surprised why. The NHS used to think that the best way to treat epilepsy was with electrolysis, electric shocks. Yeah. And when we found out that, how were we surprised 2 years, the next year, when we said, this causes it. We need giving these tablets. Yeah. So I was going into the hospital and giving full-on seizure. God, go on then. Thanks very much. So
appreciate that. Cheers.
Yeah, cheers. And then wiped out for 2 days afterwards. But I've always been a really curious person.
Hmm.
And I was a really curious child. And I was really interested in the next layer down.
Okay.
And I understood, like with history. I love Roman history. I love Rome and he came here and all this lot. That's brilliant. And thank you very much for teaching me. Thank you.
Cleo went to Rome once and brought back a lighter that was a little cherub and the flame came out of his dick.
Yes. Thank you.
One of the most culturally, what's the word I'm looking for? Places in the world, and you
came back with a lighter that lit up from a church's knob. And I also came back with a friar took that when you squeezed him, a willy went out the middle of him like that.
Got a lighter with it.
And do you know where I bought that lighter from?
Go on.
The Vatican.
Oh wow.
It was the Vatican, and I was having a cigarette on the roof of the Vatican.
Whatever makes the money, eh?
With three nuns. And I was sitting in the middle of three... That's on Facebook, that picture, is when I was on Rome. And I'm sitting on the top of the roof with a cigarette in my mouth. Just the most random day of my life. But I was always interested in the next level down. So, St. Peter, who found the ark.
Okay.
Before he had to handle the ark, he had to put on clothing. Why?
Do you know the answer?
I know the answer now.
Yeah.
It's freely available. It's radiation poisoning. So when anyone's handling the ark, your fingernails went black and they fell off, your hair fell out, blah, blah, blah. It sounds like radiation poisoning. That's my... Every part of that sickness is radiation poisoning. Where did he find it? Blah, 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 blah. So I was massively interested in the next layer down. That's why I'm so hell-bent on trying to figure out why Egypt was built.
Yeah.
Which is really a long rabbit hole to go into. And we do not want to go into energy and all that type of mumbo-jumbo, because there's a lot of theory.
There's a big theory. I mean, this could take up the entire podcast, but...
We could do a whole podcast on it.
There's a big theory that there was once a super, 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 super intelligent civilization that...
The Anunnaki.
That donned the world, that ran the world. And then, a stupid, catastrophic event, fucking asteroids, that's the word I'm looking for.
Something.
Fucking things falling from the sky, basically. Like, destroyed everything. And the only people that survived were the stupid, but tough idiots. Like, so they knew how to fight.
Yeah.
They knew how to survive. Whereas all the brainy people, because they didn't have to, didn't. All of this super, 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 super intelligent beings were killed off. And we started again.
We started again.
And we're nowhere near that level of intelligence that we were at. And there's clues and stuff all over the world that supports this argument. And there's scientists that support this argument, and they just get shunned and pushed out because it goes against what people try to teach you.
Well, what I'm talking about is the theory that the pyramids are linked to renewable energy.
Okay.
Just because of where the sarcophagus is placed in the bottom, it's not a human burial chamber, it's a very small chamber, that could fit an ark in it.
Okay.
St. Peter nicked an ark. Did he nick it from Egypt?
Yeah.
And then that forms the renewable energy that forms and why the pyramids are stacked in the ways they are. And we've also found about seven other pyramids over the last 2 months since the water levels have dropped.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's made you happy?
They were popping them around. But before we put our tin hats on, what is making me ludicrously happy? Wrestling. It's making me a happy little bunny. Have you watched Raw and SmackDown this week? You son of a mother hubbard. Another great banging two shows as we lead up to WrestleMania, which is next weekend, I believe.
No, it is.
The weekend after.
It's the weekend I'm in London, so the first weekend of April.
Right. I'm coming for you, bro.
So not Easter weekend.
I'm coming London to you, and I'm bringing WrestleMania with me.
I'll have my laptop with me, so I'll
absolutely. The only thing I'll say about Raw with Cody Rhodes, he did a segment where he was crying. Not being nasty, you should never do a segment where you fake crying, Cody Rhodes. Very obvious you were fake crying. The Rock, wow. That's all I can say. The song he laid down on SmackDown.
I've read about that.
Oh, mate, brilliant. A blues song that you did with on SmackDown. The whole lead up to WrestleMania is looking absolutely fantastic. And wrestling is finally good again. So thank you, Triple H.
Yeah, there's also talk. So WrestleMania weekend is renowned for all the little indie wrestling companies putting shows on in the same area that WrestleMania is happening. The city turns into one wrestling fest.
Like a wrestling expo.
Fight TV, which is now owned by Triller. Fight TV, they air a lot of it. I mean, there was one year where I had the weekend off, and I actually bought a load of like the indie wrestling stuff on Fight TV because it was like £2 or £3 a pop. You know what I mean? It was nothing. It wasn't expensive to watch, and I watched some GCW stuff. Some what was the, I can't remember, the Rev Pro, the British one. There was like an inter promotion like super show that they put on with loads of indie talent like in one show, and bloody X-Pac turned up.
Yeah,
Sean Waltman on one of them, which was cool. But yeah, this similar things will be happening this weekend, and it's been reported that now with Triple H in charge, because this kind of thing was never really allowed. It's happened a couple of times, but with Triple H in charge, he's apparently allowing WWE talent to go out and participate in these indie shows.
That's
so
a good thing.
Shayna Baszler's already going over to GCW. She's going to be doing some stuff over there. She's also going to be in the Bloodsport 10, which is Josh Barnett's thing that he does, which is pretty cool.
When's Paige coming back?
She's in AEW. She's in AEW. Along with Mercedes Moné, who made her debut.
Did she?
Yeah, Sasha Banks. The old Sasha Banks. She's an AEW.
So none of them own the names then, is that about right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
There's only... It never really works the other way. So if you... Like Dean Ambrose, you know what I mean? You were Dean Ambrose in WWE. You're not taking that name with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you come in with a name like Samoa Joe, he's known as, he's renowned as Samoa Joe, you know what I mean? So they let him use his name, and it's his name. He owns it. Yeah. So, you know, he took that with him and carried on using it. But yeah, you know, Dean Ambrose, Paige, Sasha Banks, you know, none of them, even bloody Ty Dillinger, who's Sean Spears, you know, none of them can use that name. Daniel Bryan, right? Daniel Bryan.
His name, isn't it?
No, his name's Bryan Danielson.
And
they swapped it over in WWE. Because
you should call him Danielson.
Because that's what Vince did. He created new characters. You know what I mean? And you couldn't be this old character. We're going to create a new character.
See, I'd be brilliant at wrestling because you could just call me Cleon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can't really nick that.
Yeah.
It's my name.
But there's been talent, like developmental talent, that have ended up signing contracts, and they've signed their real name as their performing name, because they can't take the real name off, and that's my name.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? But Yeah, it's just one of them things, you know, and so they hold the rights to that name and you can't do anything with it. You've got to start again. But now, going back the other way, you've got like Sean Spears, who was Ty Dillinger in WWE. He's back in NXT as Sean Spears. He's back as his character, the chairman, Sean Spears, who he was in AEW. They've let him keep that. And I think, you know, this Triple H era of wrestling is going to improve the WWE tenfold. You know what I mean? He knows what he's got to do. He knows, and he loves the indie stuff. And, you know, peak NXT, when NXT was in its prime, that was when Triple H was in charge. Mm. And he, oh my God.
I just wish he didn't have a polar horse.
Yeah, yeah.
I do, because...
If he didn't have Pacemaker, he'd be involved in this pay-per-view.
He'd be involved, he'd be playing against Rock.
If he didn't have a pacemaker, Rock wouldn't have anything to do with Cody Rhodes. You know what I mean? It would be Rock and fucking Triple H.
Yeah.
We'd get that last match.
Yeah, you would.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It'd be ace. It would be ace.
Every time that him and The Rock go like talking to each other, I kind of do that. Oh.
Yeah.
Just smacking one, Big Paul.
You know what I mean? We're going to miss out on that. It's a fucking it really is a damn shame as well, because he's still in wicked condition.
He must have had a cardiac arrest then.
Oh, he must have done, yeah.
To have a pacemaker.
He's got a pacemaker in there.
He must have had a
cardiac
arrest at some point.
He just can't fucking risk taking bumps and stuff. Like, he just can't do it.
Not with a pacemaker,
which is just fucking so sad. Like, it's really sad when you see like one of your, because he was one of my favorite wrestlers when I was growing up.
I think he was my favorite,
and the whole DX thing, and you know, even fucking look at Shawn Michaels now, man. Like he's running NXT, and when you see him on screen, it's like that was the heartbreak kid. What happened?
He's bald.
What happened? His lazy eyes go completely going the other way now. Like, put a patch on, man. Get it fixed.
At least get some Botox, Sean.
His fucking teeth look like they're falling out. Do you know what? Do you know what he should do?
Right. What?
Embrace the fucking baldness. I know he cut his pony off, right? But he didn't embrace it. He shaved his head and didn't embrace it. He wore cowboy hats. And when he did that fucking match in Saudi Arabia, he wore that stupid fucking thing on his head. I've got no idea what it was, like, to cover his baldness. It's like, and now he's growing his hair back, which...
If I start getting bald, I'm getting full on Jason Statham.
Do what Triple H did. Just shave the fucking thing off and grow a massive beard.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
No, I've already fucking told, I've said to my barber, Sean, you know what I mean? Because my fucking thin patch at the back is getting thinner by the day.
Is it? Mine's not.
And I'm like, my mum seems to think that I'll be more like my Uncle Paul than my dad. You can see it there. Holy image. My mum seems to think that I'll be a bit more like my Uncle Paul than my old man, because he went a bit thin at the back, but he did keep his hair, whereas my old man went bald. Like, and
what? Oh no, I had you even dressed as Friar Tuck then.
Oh, Sam.
You know, with the
I've got the ballet voice.
You know, with the druid.
Yeah, with the
thing on. Yeah.
But no, I've said
wasn't
to me,
a fat shame sentence.
I've said to me, whatever, Clan. I've said to me, my barber, like, you can see on top of my head when you're cutting my hair. I can't see the back. When it's too far, when I'm at the point of no return, just shave it off.
He's never going to tell you that because he hasn't got a job then.
Oh no, he does beards and cutthroat. He does cutthroat head shaves and stuff like so.
He's lost a tenner then. If he tells you,
I'll always go to him. Even when I'm bald, he can do my beard. He can fucking shave my head. It's
do what
salmon,
you need to do,
mate. You know what I mean? I'm not like. That going to barbers is fucking therapy, man. It doesn't matter how much hair I lose, I'm still going to go.
It's education for me.
I'll just get him fucking rub some lotion in my shiny head or something. I don't know. Sean, can I just sit in the shop?
Do you know if you go the moment
the, dogs?
The moment you go bald, I'm buying a plunger.
Oh, to stick on my head?
Yeah.
Yeah, sound.
I'm just walking around with you wherever we go. I'm just walking around with a plunger going, sorry, mate. It'll only last for a year.
I don't think I'll go shiny bald. I think I'll go really thin. Like, my hair will go thin, so it just looks silly when you grow it. So I'll shave it, but it'll be like Triple H. I'll shave it, but there'll be stubble, you know what I mean? I don't think a plunger will work.
What did my work say to me about my hair? Oh, your hair looks better on the call.
It's my hair.
I went, what? Can we keep you professional?
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
What the hell is this?
All about.
It's not X Factor.
Let's go back a couple of weeks because we missed last week, didn't we?
We did.
It was Mother's Day last week.
It was.
We were not doing the podcast because we were with our mothers.
Mother's
well,
stuff.
I don't know if you were with your mother, but I was with
the mother of the children.
Mother of the children.
Was I with the mother? No, I was you with the mother Friday.
On the Friday, yeah, because I was lonely in Wetherspoons.
Yeah, and we were running to you.
And you and Mitch were running to you.
You must have been there for 3 minutes.
I didn't realise Mitch was coming, so that was a nice surprise when he turned up.
Smashed.
Yeah, he was fucked. Which is always a laugh. Let me tell you something about... So, for people who don't know, Mitch is Cleon's little brother. I say little. He's about 8 foot and built like a brick shit house.
I think he's 6'5".
He's a big lad.
He's a bit at the minute.
He saw me and he was like, Dave, and he gave me this hug and I thought my ribs had broke, which was nice. And so Mitch is like you on steroids 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Like he's a few beers in him and he's just got the chat and the confidence of the most confident man in the world. He will talk to absolutely anybody. And just like we go into a bar and there's people there and he's straight over. All right, guys. Oh, we're having a good night. I'm Mitch. That's my brother there. That's Dave. That's his mate. Yep. We're all having a good time. Are you having a good time? Let's get some drinks.
Yeah, but it's refreshing, right?
Yeah, it's ace.
Yeah.
It's fucking ace.
You don't see him for most of the night.
No, he's just talking to everybody else.
Because he's talking to everyone else and every now and again he brings a drink as he's walking around.
Yeah
it's great.
I've not seen this for 20 years. Last time I saw this, it was you.
I'm like this
20
going,
years ago.
I'm like this going. I can't do this no more.
We went out to watch the boxing.
Yes, let's talk about the boxing.
That was another thing as well. Like nowhere was showing the boxing.
Which surprised
me. Which is weird. Like when did that become a thing that no bar shows the boxing? We found a bar that was showing the boxing as luck would have it. That's where Mitch went and just made friends. So he could get a seat. Like, I'm going to go sit over there. There's no space over there, Mitch. I'll make some space. Yeah. All right, guys.
Move up.
Watch up a bit. Sits himself down.
Yeah, right in the middle of everyone.
We've come watch the boxing. What's your name?
There was a throuple. Is it a throuple where there's two couples?
I don't know what that's called. I thought a throuple was like a three-way.
Oh, was it? Oh, right, okay. There was
a couple of couples.
There was a couple of couples having a lovely night out until Mitchell went, "Hiya!" and sat right in the middle of them.
My name's Mitch.
Is this table free? Because there's two of you on this table and two of you on this table. You can sit four at a table here, so I'm going to take this one. Cleon, I've got a table!
What do you two do? Midwives? Oh, that's ace. That's really good. And what about you? Oh, we're cool. I'm not in your way, am I? We're just watching the boxing. Yeah, I'll be your mate. Shake hands. Like, it's like a really excited puppy. Right. Only massive.
Only a very big puppy.
I remember you sat down. You sat down and he just went, I've had my teeth done, look. First thing he said.
Do you like him?
The lovely Mitch, the really nice.
Brilliant. I'll speak to you in a minute.
Speak to you later,
mate.
Gone. Life of the party, man. He was ace.
Anyway.
He was fucking ace. Boxing.
Let's talk about it. The return of the god.
The return of the Adonis. AJ. AJ Francis Ngannou. That was the boxing we went to watch. And let's face it, right? Anthony Joshua did to Francis Ngannou what Tyson Fury should have done to him, but couldn't manage it.
Just smack him.
Now, could he not manage it because he's not good enough?
Oh, you've all been seduced by a pikey.
No, I'm asking the question.
I know what you're going to say.
Could he not do it because he didn't train, or could he not do it because he wasn't good enough?
He wasn't good enough. It's getting... I said this during the fight. On the lead up to the fight, we're all sitting in the pub and we were talking to everyone about what we think, and I went, Joshua's going to do him early.
Mm.
I was betting on three rounds, if you remember,
you did,
when we first
you said
came
three.
In. Said it was not going to go beyond here. He is too big, he is too powerful, and he's had a very good fight. And because he's had a very good fight, he'll come into this with his ego out here.
He's
it's his second boxing fight.
AJ's got a new trainer and stuff as well. Hasn't he? New camp.
Yeah, he's got a new trainer. If you notice, when he knocked him out the first time, he was completely southpaw, and he changed.
Yeah.
To smack him, he went bang, 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 and then completely changed. He just flipped on his foot and just hit him.
Dana White, president of the UFC, he said, he was asked about it, and he said, what happened in that fight is what should happen to every UFC fighter that moves across into boxing and fights somebody at that level. Anthony Joshua did what every boxer should do to any mixed martial arts fighter moving over to boxing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what... And I saw Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather thing. Floyd Mayweather, if he wanted to knock him out...
He was talking to Conor for the entire match.
If he wanted to knock him out or stop the fight in the first round, Floyd Mayweather could have done that.
Yeah.
He could have done it.
Yeah.
He's the best boxer ever.
Yeah.
Right? It's simple as that. You know what I mean? Some people might not agree with me.
No, but he's like a computer.
But Floyd Mayweather is one of, if not the greatest boxer to ever step in.
You can walk with the... within me, you can walk with thee, because I've watched that many fights, and for me, there's only a couple close, and I'll give you the couple. Eubank.
Oh, Chris Eubank was my favourite boxer.
And I'll give you the heavyweight, and that's Lewis.
Yep, Lennox Lewis.
Who only put one foot wrong in his career, and that was the smile he gave that guy when he was fighting him in altitude.
Yeah,
and he did.
He lost to Oliver McCall as well.
But that wasn't a mistake. He was better than him on the day.
Do you remember the rematch where Oliver McCall had that breakdown in the ring, started crying and everything?
Tyson had one when he was fighting Lewis as well.
Weird.
Can you remember Tyson having one the second time he fought him?
Oh, Mike Tyson.
Can you keep your hands up? And he started crying. Going like, oh, keep your hands up. You gotta keep him up. And Lennox Lewis was standing at the other corner, not even having a drink and just glaring at him.
I don't remember that happening in the Tyson fight.
Yeah. The last fight they had, Lennox Lewis in the later rounds stood up whilst Tyson was sitting down going, I can't lift my hands.
Oh, I'll have to. I've got all of Lewis's fights.
Really
on
good.
DVD.
His last fight, the last time he faced Tyson, he made an absolute mockery out of him. And those two came up as kids together.
Yeah. I do remember the post-match interview where, Mike Tyson, because the whole build-up, do you remember the press conference? I'll fucking the ass and make you love me.
Yeah. And you can see Lennox going,
wow, that's like, wow, that's horrible. I remember all that, but like in the post-match, like, Mike Tyson was just a completely different guy, and he was like wiping a bit of blood off Lennox Lewis's face during the interview. Like, and just
I'm sorry.
But
that was like Francis and Ngannou. Before the match, I'll give you the two parallels.
Before the match, I remember you messaged me about this. Before the match, I do remember the press conference where he was like,
I will make my enemies.
He was talking to Tyson Fury.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, you're protected by the ring. If you fight me in the street, I'll murder you.
Yeah. Dover like this.
And I believe him. Yeah. I 100% believe him.
But it was how he was going. I will defeat my enemy. I will take Anthony Joshua. I can do this. Dead aggressive. And then afterwards he came up and went, so Francis, do you think you were a bit outboxed? And he was like, well, Master Joshua hit me awfully hard.
At least him. The thing is, though, I love the bit where he was asked about the...
You knocked the Nigerian out of him.
He was asked about the knockout punch, like, and how it felt. Yeah. And he just went, I didn't feel anything, but I believe that's a knockout. He hit me really hard.
Did it hurt? Don't know. I woke up on the floor.
I love post match interviews that are like that. There was one. There was Dan Hardy in UFC, and he got knocked out. It was brutal.
Yeah.
And he was on his way. He was on a run to a title match. Like, he might have been for a title actually. And he got brutally knocked out. It was horrible. And Joe Hogan's interview, and he said, Dan Hardy, can you tell me what happened? And he just went, I got punched in the face. Simple as that. And he just went, yeah, no excuses. I got punched in the face and he knocked me out. I've got nothing. Like I did everything that we did in training camp. I did everything as I was supposed to do it. And he punched me in the face.
He was very good.
That's that. Like, he was better than me. I love post-match interviews like that. And Francis Ngannou was the same. He was like, yeah, I didn't feel it. Cause
dead softly spoken. I was
knocked out.
I didn't feel anything. He hit me so hard. I was just howling with laughter, just the comparison between the two.
So now we've got Fury and Usyk coming up, which I'm still in the, I don't think it's going to happen.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I'm in that camp. I don't think it's going to happen.
Watch Tyson Fury during that last fight.
Ooh.
When Anthony Joshua goes bang, 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 bang.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You see the look on his face.
The rest of them jump up. All of AJ's camp jump up. And Tyson's like...
Yeah, and his face, he's like down. He's like, fuck.
Shit.
You know what I mean?
I get caught with that, I'm done.
He is...
And he isn't Deontay Wilder, AJ isn't.
But Tyson Fury is a very good boxer. Can he work out a way of outboxing AJ? Can he take him 12 rounds and outbox him and win on points?
Who's Tyson Fury fought since he's come back?
No one.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yes, he's a very good boxer, but it's okay being Manchester City or Liverpool, but if you've only played Port Vale, Shrewsbury Town and Accrington Stanley and you've won all those five games, but you've got Barcelona in your next game.
Yeah.
Well, it's a bit of a bad example right now, but you get what I mean. But you've got... Guardiola's Barcelona in the next game and you're going, we're much better because we beat Accrington and blah, blah, blah. You're completely deluded.
Mm.
And I think that's where heavyweight boxing is right now.
There's part of me that believes that the Usyk-Fury fight won't happen.
Yeah.
Fury will end up having to give up the belt.
Yeah.
Because he's not defending it.
Mm-hmm.
And Usyk and AJ will fight again for the vacant belt.
Usyk will win again.
Usyk's a machine.
I rate Usyk.
He's a machine, isn't he? Yeah.
He's like a windscreen wiper in the middle of a ring. And every time he gets to each corner, he throws one, then in the middle, then on the left. And it's impossible because he doesn't do it like this. He does it like this. He doesn't go from left to right. He'll go left, middle, back to the left, then over to the right, then back to the middle, then over to the right again.
I think he's
like a wasp.
I'm looking forward to there being an actual undisputed champion again. You know what I mean? There hasn't been one since Lennox Lewis.
Yeah.
Like, Lennox Lewis was the last undisputed champion. He had all four major belts, plus I think there was a couple of fucking Mickey Mouse ones as well. Yeah, because Usyk's got one of the Mickey Mouse ones. I can't remember which one it is, though. Like IBU,
the Intercontinental,
like but yeah, he's got, you know, he's got all the belts. The belts got fucking split up, and you know the road for that WBC belt, you know, it ended up back in Vitali Klitschko's hands, and it ended up the other side, like the Russians and you know that side of the world got all the other belts.
Mm.
And that WBC belt ended up in America, like, and it just got defended in America with American boxers that weren't that good.
But none of these fights are a fight that I'm looking forward to. What fight am I looking forward to, Dave?
You're looking forward to Mike Tyson, Jake Paul, aren't you?
You're damn right I'm looking forward to Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. Aren't you looking forward to that?
I just don't know what we're going to
Have you
get.
Seen Tyson training?
It doesn't matter.
Have you seen him training?
I saw him training wow. for the... I saw him training for the Roy Jones Jr. fight, and he was exactly the same. And within 6 minutes of the Roy Jones Jr. fight, he couldn't breathe. You know what I mean? And neither could Roy Jones Jr., in all fairness. And that was one of them exhibitions where it was like, we're not allowed to knock each other out. That was one of the things. It was a no-knockout fight. And both of them were fucked at the end of it. Went to a draw, like, which was the only fair thing to do, really. It was pathetic. I just don't know what Tyson we're going to get, because at the end of his career, he was shocking.
He can't lose.
And... at this stage, and he's an he's fucking nuts. Like, and he's scary. He scares the shit out of me. Like, you know, at any point, if you were stood in front of him in a conversation, at any point, he could just, like, fucking murder you.
Yeah, like, but that's the thing. He's taking something that stops him from murdering people. So for 6 weeks now, he's in training, free of all the stuff that stops him from murdering people. Then they're going to put him in a ring with Jake Paul, and Jake Paul's going to go, go on then.
Oh, mate.
But for me, the only thing I don't like about this fight is, why is Jake Paul doing it?
Do you know Jake Paul fought like 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago?
No.
I didn't even know about it till the next morning. He fought in like South America,
was it,
I think.
On YouTube?
Maybe. Yeah, I watched it on. I think I watched some dodgy fucking thing.
Under Misfits.
Yeah, he knocked some dude out in the first round.
We're looking at having like Jake Paul versus Tyson, and on that same card, having Wayne Rooney versus...
Oh, Jamie Vardy.
No, not Jamie Vardy. That's the son. Wayne Rooney versus... Oh, is it KSI he's looking fight?
Is he? KSI? And Wayne Rooney?
No, Wayne Rooney versus...
I can't fucking think of it.
Oh, he's looking fight. It's a fight between Wayne Rooney and somebody else, and I can't remember who the flip it is. It's not Jamie Vardy. The reason that's together is because of that Wagatha Christie. You know, because Wayne Rooney's missus sued Jamie Vardy's missus. I can't remember who they were putting up him for a Misfits fight.
Amir Khan said he would train Wayne Rooney.
Oh, I bet he would. Wayne, I'll train you as well, matey.
Oh, fucking hell. Tyson Jake Paul. Of course I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
Of course I'm going to fucking watch it, you know what
just
I mean?
Just a Jake Paul getting knocked out by an old man. And that's going to happen. It will happen. Anyway, football.
Let's
wind it.
It's really dark in here. I just realised I can't see you.
I've just. It's gone dark while we've been in here.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, I like that little light. It's very dink. Okay, that's a bit freaky. Right. Anyway, yesterday it's FA Cup weekend, Dave. Stop scaring me. It's FA Cup weekend.
We have ways of making you talk.
We have ways. Sorry, Dave has a spotlight in here now at this moment in time and has started with doing the light under the chin so he looks scary, then the ways of making you talk, and I'm pretty sure we'll be moving to shadow animals. Anyway, it's the FA Cup quarterfinals, and it started off on Saturday. We had Wolves 2, Coventry 3. Coventry knocking out a Premier League team. We had Manchester City, Newcastle 0. We had Manchester City 2, Newcastle United 0. Sorry about that. With Newcastle looking very Newcastle as we are at the moment, but it's impossible to gauge your team when you play Man City.
Yeah.
We also had the Premier League, which was Burnley 2, Brentford 1. Luton 1, Nottingham Forest 1. Fulham 3, Tottenham 0. Tottenham doing very Spursy things. Now we're going to run across onto our Championship clubs because I loved them yesterday. They're a source of income from me. 150 quid most weekends.
Yeah.
Stoke 0, Norwich 3. And then how do we think Vale got on, Dave?
They probably lost.
Yeah, 2-0. Which leaves Vale. Where does that leave Vale in the table? Where does it leave Vale and... Where are our local teams in this football, table?
Oh, God. They've got to be, like, second to bottom Vale. Surely.
I think they've won in ages, haven't they? Hang on. So, Vale are second to bottom, you're right. With a game... They haven't got much... God almighty. 33, 34, 35, 36. So... They're 3 points getting out of it. No, they're not. Oh, God. 33, they're 6 points away from getting out of safety. And they've only won, I think, three all season.
Yeah. We've got a game. We've got two games in hand over Fleetwood.
Mega, but we lost against Fleetwood.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vale are relegated.
Definitely.
Call it Vale are relegated. And, guys, if you're a Port Vale fan... Please, 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 please remember that the football ends as you leave the stadium. You don't need to be bringing the arguments to people while they're out with the families and while they're out with the kids and, like, players or anybody who's out who's connected with Vale and the Vale staff. Yeah. Vale fans, take a fucking chill pill. Not being nasty. Calm down.
Did you cover today's games?
I didn't cover today's games, actually.
I've got them here. Do you want me to do it?
Yeah, go on. Go on. Cause...
So we had Chelsea Leicester.
Yeah.
Chelsea versus Leicester City. And it was 4-2 to Chelsea. Wow. On that one. Man United Liverpool, a big one.
Yeah.
A big one. It went into extra time.
Yeah.
And going into extra time, it was 2-2.
Yep.
And then Liverpool scored in the 105th minute to make it 3-2. However, Man United scored in the 121st and the 122nd minute to make it 4-3 at full time.
We've just missed a classic.
Yeah, we've just missed a good one there, Cleon.
In local football again, Eccleshill Women were away to Doveridge Ladies. We won that 3-1 today with goals from Connie Shaw, Pete Captain Fantastic, Kira Wildig, and Kerry Foxy Brown. Kerry Foxall Brown.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very good, very good. Okay, super quick because we're at the end of the show now.
Yes.
I watched Napoleon.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so that's that. Don't need to talk about that anymore. Don't bother watching it. It's boring. It's fucking boring.
The amount of people I've got watching Napoleon saying it's the next best thing is by a list as long as distinguished. Isn't it boring? Is there a point to it?
It's fucking shit.
Is there a point to it?
Don't get me wrong. Joaquin Phoenix, I like him. He's a good actor. But the film is shite.
It is still boring.
It's slow. It's boring. It doesn't go anywhere. It's everything that you can read in a history book. It looks beautiful. It's Michael Bay in it, so it looks beautiful. But it's shit. Don't bother watching it.
I'm with you.
I binged watched Severance, a series on Apple this week. I actually watched the last episode today, and it's fucking brilliant.
Mm.
Shit me, it's good. Severance on Apple TV. I'll give you the premise. You've not watched it, have you?
Yeah.
I'll give you the premise. So there's a bunch of people that work for a company called Lumen,
mm-hmm.
right? And they've developed this severance program where
on the film?
Eh?
Is it based on the film?
I've got no idea.
Okay.
Layman's terms, they kind of split your brain in half. So your work self is separate to your outside self. You with me?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they go down this lift to get to work, and at some point in the lift, the other half of the brain kicks in. So the person that works for Lumen, it's like they never leave the office. They kind of go up in the lift, and the next thing you know, the lift door's open and they're back at work because it completely switches off. And for the person outside, that person doesn't know what they do for work. As soon as they get in that lift, boom, gone. And the next thing they know, they're back in the lift and they're on the way home. So that's the premise of it. Right, won't go into any more detail, but shit me, I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like, I've really enjoyed it. Every episode's like an hour. There's 9 episodes.
Mm.
It's well worth your time to sit and watch it. And, yeah, the last one, my mate Liam, who I work with, he recommended it. And I literally, on the last episode, I messaged him in capital letters. That's how excited I was. Like, I was shouting at him. But, yeah, definitely worth a watch, Severance. And
my side of media.
Okay, go on.
The Gentleman. Series on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Is that...
really good.
Is it from the film?
It's from the film. It's pretty much so... main character in the film was played by...
Charlie Hunnam, wasn't it?
The guy from Interstellar.
Oh, Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
All right. Matthew McConaughey. So, basically, the story is... he's dead.
Okay.
His son's carry on.
Oh, all right.
Brilliant.
Okay, cool. Yeah, sound. What am I thinking of? Is Charlie Hunnam in The Gentleman? I swear he is.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, is he? Yeah, I've got the right film. Yeah, I think he is.
Are you on Lockstock?
No, not Lockstock. I'll Google it later. I might be thinking of a different film.
I don't know who Charlie is.
Oh, he was in Sons of Anarchy and...
Oh, no, he was in The Gentleman film.
The film.
Geordie Beardy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I say Geordie Beardy from the Gentleman. He's Geordie, is. No, he's not in it at all.
In the series?
No.
No, he's in the film, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he's in the film.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, he's not in the series.
And a very last note before we go. Rest in peace, Yeats's wine bar in Hanley.
And the body that was found in there.
Mate, it's... well, I work right next to it. So I was there when it was all happening.
Yeah.
And it's fucking horrible. So we couldn't get in to the arcade.
That bad?
Yeah, we couldn't even... We couldn't get into the arcade. Now, the guy that normally comes and unlocks just couldn't get anywhere near, like, to you know, he's driving up, but everything's cordoned off. You can't get anywhere near the place. So I've just walked up to work. Now, I've got no fucking idea what's going on. Just
walked up, got in, lifted the shutter in.
So, like, but you've got the Acorn team who are in the arcade, and they're all kind of stood by the shutter. The shutter's down. I'm like, fuck's going on? He's like, have you not seen? There's a massive fire the other side. He says, I think it's the old Sentinel building. Now, the Sentinel building is, it would have been, remember JFK?
Yeah, yeah.
The Sentinel building into like, and I'm like, the Sentinel, that's where there was a fucking gas leak a couple of weeks back. I'm like, fucking hell, I wonder if it's tripped again, like, and it's gone up. So I'm like, don't worry, I've got keys, like, so I'll go and unlock everything and do the alarm on, I'll let you all in. So I'll fucking run round the other way, let everybody in, do the fucking shutters. But yeah, I've lifted the shutter up to the arcade on Trinity Street, but all that's cordoned off, like top to bottom. Mm. So I'm like, do I need to drop this? Like, what the fuck's going on here? But somebody comes across and puts like tape across, which doesn't stop people from walking down and just walking through the tape. It's like, what the fuck is wrong with people? It's taped off. You can't get that way. So
this is what I mean with people.
In the end, we ended up just dropping the shutter all the way down. But because we were right next to it, it's like we were getting updates on what was going on. And it was the Tuesday morning. So it took 30 hours for them to put it out. It was 30 fucking hours. They reckon the fire started around 3 in the morning. It wasn't until like 5 when somebody was alerted that this fire was going on. And it took them over 30 hours to put the thing out. According to the officers, it was that hot. It was one of the hottest fires they've ever experienced. They couldn't put it out from inside. They tried. They tried going in to put it out, but they couldn't put it out from inside. So they've had to do it from outside. They've had to douse the place, basically, and do it from outside. Yeah. The drone shot, that's gone over the top. The building's gone, you know what I mean? The only thing that's still up is the walls around the outside. The insides are completely gone. The roof's gone. Everything's gone. It's dust. And, yeah, so I was talking to a couple of the people involved in what was going on, and they were like, well, you know, we've checked CCTV, and because you get all the rumours like, oh, there's a grow on and stuff like that. I knew there was no grow on because there's no fucking electric in there. The last time there was a grow on, they fucking ripped all the electric. But what it was homeless. So four homeless people have gone in. Four homeless people have gone in, and they've lit cardboard to stay warm. And two of them have come out and don't go back in. And this fire's just too cold. So now I was told four people went in and they only saw two come out. Now it's only been announced that they found one body. So whether some, you know, Chinese whispers, you know what I mean? Are you still allowed to say Chinese whispers? Chinese whispers or whatever, like... you know, whether the information's just got, like, wrong as it's got to me. It could have only been three people, I don't know, or three people could have left. But, yeah, somebody was still in there. And regardless of what walk of life, you know, you're in at the, in the moment, regardless of whether you're, you know, homeless or whether you're, you know, a dusthead or whatever, it doesn't matter. Like, for that to happen in them circumstances is horrific. It's bad,
yeah.
And I can only hope that the person who was in there had passed out.
Yeah,
and just didn't.
You'd suffocated long before you were set on fire.
Didn't know what was going on, you know what I mean? Just had no clue what was happening. I would hate to think that that person was conscious and knew what was happening and what was going to happen. And it's horrible. So, like, they've opened up. It took 3 days, but they've opened up Trinity Street now, and Stafford Street's open again, and you know our arcade's fully open. And it was just, but like, there's a massive screen gone up by the old Yates's, on that alleyway where Reflex is, like.
Yeah.
And Foundry Street is completely closed, just the length of the Sentinel building, the old Sentinel building. So from, like, you know, from JFK to the back end of Pink.
Yeah.
Like, that's closed because it's not structurally safe. They're saying that the building could just drop at any point, so they've got to keep the road closed. You can't have people driving or walking up there and the building falls down.
Yeah, true.
So that's closed off. And like I say, it's been announced, I think it was last night or this morning, they announced that they'd actually found the body. You know, I heard this a couple of days previous, but nothing had been released out to the press yet. But just being in the vicinity and, you know, talking and whatnot, you know, you get a bit of information, and it's fucking horrible. But yeah, another historical building in Stoke-on-Trent gone. You know, the Leopard in Burslem.
I think it's time. I think something serious needs to be done to Hanley.
Yeah.
I'm deadly serious. I had an experience in Hanley which nearly resulted in me being a very nasty person to somebody.
Macabango's closed down.
I had a crackhead try to take my laptop out of my bag while I was walking through Hanley.
Oh, fuck off.
Which happened on, I think, Wednesday? Walking through the centre of Hanley. Oh, Thursday, because it was Bruce's birthday.
Right.
Like a dad to me, Bruce. My stepdad.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, holla. And I was going in Webberley's, the bookshop.
It's not there anymore.
The bookshop next to Witherspoons.
Waterstones.
Only ever went one bookshop for me. I only go in there.
Webberley's is shut now. Shut years ago.
Fair enough. So I went in the bookshop, and you know the alleyway where they're giving that to the takers. So it's a nice, safe place for them to do that type of stuff. So I've got to go to the bookstop. Bookshop. Because I'm thinking I'll get him a book. Slippers? Nah. Socks? Done that last year.
Nice read. A good read.
Get him a book. I didn't get him a book in the end. I couldn't figure it. There was just too much. Too much. But anyway, I've gone in, and as I'm walking out, I've got my laptop bag on my back. And I've got my laptop in there because I'm popping it open for work. Doing a meeting, shutting it, doing an email, blah, 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 blah. This hybrid working role. And yeah, I'm walking and I'm looking and there's a guy walking with me. But he's lifting the zip in my bag. So what the beep are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, mate, I didn't realise it was your bag. I just said to the... I'm sure you can imagine the next sentence.
Yeah.
I asked the gentleman to walk away from me.
Yeah.
I said, would you mind removing yourself from within my perimeter? As I'm not happy about you trying to take the laptop from my bag.
Mm.
Especially as it's my MacBook Pro. You might die.
Very very distinguished of you, that was.
I was a very distinguished person, and a person from the bid team... A guy wearing a red jacket.
Yeah, the bed team, yeah.
Saw me having the distinguished conversation with him, with said person, and came rushing over and said, is everything all right? I was like, yes, everything is all right. I've just asked this gentleman to remove himself from within my vicinity. And then he assisted in removing said gentleman from within my area. Yeah, but I just went... I nearly said to the guy who's done that, I nearly went, do you know how much I defend Hanley? Have you got any idea of how much I've spoke Hanley up against incidents like this? And it's not that bad. And it's not that la-da-da. And da-da-da-da-da. And the amount of arguments I've had, you absolute muppet. And I just couldn't... It wasn't... I couldn't believe it. It was the cheekiness of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the whole...
I'm with you, man.
The fragrance... I'm just going to undo this bag. It's walking with me!
I'm like a bit... Where I am, I'm a little bit out the way. I'm kind of shielded from it. It does come through the arcade.
1, 2 o'clock, Market Tavern, Auctioneers, Wetherspoons, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, I'm kind of a bit out of the way. It does come through the arcade, and we do have incidents in the shop that we have to deal with. I had a guy coming in throwing fucking CDs up the shop, like taking like cases off the shelf and then taking the booklets out and then just throwing them.
Why?
because he was off his tits. Like, so, you know, I had to go out and go, mate, what are you playing at? Like, oh, sorry, mate, I don't know what I'm doing. We'll get out. Like, and then 2 seconds later, he comes back in and tries to do it with records, and it's like, mate, I just told you, get out, leave. Like, you know, I've had guys in there threatening customers. You know, I've had literally threatening not customers out and stuff, and it's like, mate, you've got to go. Like, leave.
Yeah.
And, yeah, well, I mean, not in a... I'm not that polite when I tell them to leave, you know what I mean? But, yeah, I had a guy come in, turn the lights off the other day. Just come in, turn the lights off.
Walked off.
What are you doing? And he just went, I don't know. And he put the light back on and left. Just fucking off his tits. I don't know. But, yeah, you know, we are, it's once in a blue moon it happens to us, like, and we are a bit shielded and out the way in that arcade, but... Yeah, something needs to be done with Hanley. I don't know what. I haven't got the answers, but...
They just won't give me the job.
There's a... do you know what? Thing is, though, there's a bid meeting on Tuesday coming up, so I might pop along to it and see what the...
Is that open to anyone?
No, just the businesses.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
oh.
It's just the businesses. Anyway, it's getting a little bit late, so let's wrap it up. Big thank you to everybody that listens week in and week out. You guys are awesome. Do not forget to like, follow, subscribe on whatever your favourite podcast platform is. We would love that. It'd just be really nice. So, you know, just be a nice person and do it. Give us a follow on our social media. On Twitter, it's at ShinglesSPC. You can follow me, Shingles_list. You can follow Cleon K. Bewley. And on Instagram, it's Shingles_list and KLBewley5. Same on Threads. Shingles List Podcast on Facebook. You guys are awesome. And we'll see you next time.